It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
And welcome to the Steelers Depot Monday live stream. As always, I am Alex Kazura. Joining me is Dave Bryan, and we are here to recap a very busy weekend. Been waiting for this stream for quite some time to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers draft picks. After all the streams, all the discussion about who this team will take, now we know who they took this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So, Dave, how you doing? Glad you are here with me.
Yeah, glad to be here. What day is it?
You and me both on that one.
It sort of feels like it's a Friday, but I know that's not the the case. And I was thinking yesterday, man, when's Alex going to call me to do the live stream? And because I don't know, yesterday kind of felt, I don't know, like a Monday. But we got a lot to talk about. Thank you for everybody who decided to attend the live stream tonight.
Yeah, so I'm sure you guys have a lot of questions. Again, just a reminder, if you're new here, Dave and I are here until 8 p.m. Eastern time, so top of the hour, answering as many Steelers questions as we can. It may be extra busy tonight, so if you want to send a super chat, that'll guarantee your question gets asked and answered. Also moves you to the front of the line, no obligation to do so, but we appreciate it all the same. If you guys could at least like the stream, would appreciate that. Bring more people to it, and also subscribe to the channel for more content. You don't miss a stream. I'll have some draft recap videos, film room breakdowns, hopefully later this week. So we'll get in here with the questions, and we'll start off with the first one from Lumberzack94, who says, "Hey guys, big thank you and shout out to all of the Steelers Depot family for the amazing draft and pre-draft coverage. Thank you so much for that. My question, how telling surprising was it that we did not draft a wide receiver? To me, it says they have a lot of faith in guys like Miller and Calvin Austin. Do either of you still see a need to add to the room, or do you think the room is how it will be in September?" Dave, your thoughts on a pretty good rarity, this team not drafting a wide receiver.
Yeah, what is it? Three or four times since 2000 plus this year that the team did not draft at least one wide receiver. So, I mean, when it comes to, you know, just historically dating back to 2000, it's pretty monumental. But this team did draft two wide receivers last year in George Pickens and Calvin Austin III. And unfortunately, Calvin missed his rookie season there. But, they expect him to be back. And I was toying, you know, really with the idea this team would draft a wide receiver up until the point where they traded for Allen Robinson. And once they did that, I think it was a sign that it might have to be the right one or two wide receivers at that point. And I don't think they were just going to draft a wide receiver to draft a wide receiver. So I wasn't shocked overall that they didn't draft a wide receiver. And, you know, they got a pretty full room, as he mentioned there. And I think they're pretty comfortable with it. You'll obviously will see maybe an undrafted or a rookie invite, you know, kind of go to it. But I wouldn't expect any. You know, if you did add a veteran at this point, it would be on a. You just added Miles Boykin back to the room too on a 1 year veteran benefit deal. So if anybody else did come in with experience right now, it would probably be a lower tier type player, maybe one with some special teams ability that would be on another minimum benefit contract. So I think they probably like the room the way it looks right this moment.
I'm with you. After trading for Allen Robinson, really felt like it decreased the need to go draft a receiver. This receiver class was not that strong either. There were some names, certainly ones we talked about, although guys like Jaden Reed went, you know, a lot higher than I think we anticipated. And so, you know, after the Robinson deal, I said maybe day three, but leaning towards no. I had no receiver in my final mock draft. And You know, I think they're happy with the room, the depth overall. There's some young guys that have to prove themselves for sure. Calvin Austin, you have to take a snap in a preseason game, so you really don't know what you have in him, but there's enough that you're going to bet on, along with the progression of George Pickens, you know, Deontay Johnson kind of bouncing back, you know, a more consistent offense that knows what kind of offense they want to be under Kenny Pickett. All those things should help out the wide receivers. So not that shocked by it overall.
Real quick, shout out to David O, our David O in the room. We don't give him enough credit, especially right now. I just forwarded over the last 2 days about 150 entries to the Steelers Depot draft contest, and he's doing the grading for that once again. So, you know, David O obviously contributes, writes on the site, and does a lot of other little things for us, and comes out and sees me in Vegas all the time and plays chauffeur for, you know, me and Alex and some other people when we went to Pittsburgh and all like that. So, David, love you. Take your time getting those scored.
Yeah, thank you, David O. There's so much behind the scenes Friday Five stuff. He's a big part in that, and I like the mock draft kind of recap post he had that went up right before the draft that kind of put all of our mock drafts together to make it easy to reference. So yeah, shout out to David O, who's in the chat tonight. Mike Adesso says, Alex, you mentioned for years that the Steelers need an athlete at cornerback that can hang with Jamar Chase's or the Jamar Chase's of the league. Do you feel like that has now been addressed? Who's covering Zay Flowers too? Yeah, I mean, Porter is not a monster athlete, but you know what he can do is disrupt at the line of scrimmage. And so much of the NFL today is based off of rhythm and timing. And obviously, you know, under 2.5 seconds, that ball better be out, especially when Cam Hayward, Alex Highsmith, TJ Watt are rushing the quarterback. So that's going to be an asset, somebody that can go toe for toe, size, length, and, you know, overall can run in a straight line. So I'm happy with that. On Flowers in the slot, very good question. That is a much scarier question to me right now, who this team's slot corner is going to be. I think it's probably the number one hole still on this team. There are some names there in Millett and Shandon Sullivan, who got signed over the weekend, and potentially Trey Norwood, but it's lower level guys that I do not feel comfortable with.
You know, it'll be interesting to watch that. It's something that we've talked about all offseason, and it'll be something to watch continuing on. Teams are at that point right now after the draft in these next couple of weeks. You'll probably see a couple of guys get cut still around the league with some experience. And, you know, how many times over the years, Alex, have we said, you know, you get to final cutdown day. I mean, this team usually adds, what, two to three, you know, on average, players from the outside, or I forget what the stat is, from the mandatory mini camp and on, there's a huge track record of them adding, I think, something on an average of 2 to 3 guys that weren't even with the team at that point. So
who make the team, right?
Who make the week one roster there. So that's something to think about. You know, moving forward here and seeing how things move around the league and cuts. So, you know, maybe that's something that we end up talking about, you know, as we progress here. But it will be interesting to see some of these cuts, you know, around the league after the draft, you know, smooths off here and see if there's anything to pick from there. But it is a huge question that I certainly don't have the answer for right now.
Nor do I. $5 super chat from Justin Woolhandler, who says, will the Steelers keep 4 tight ends on the 52-man roster? That's 53-man roster, but point taken all the same. You know, the way that I kind of view it right now in my head is, you know, last year they carried 3, but Derek Watt as the fullback. Watt is gone. I think we're going to see Connor Hayward play kind of more that Watt role, fullback role. This year, Matt Canada seemed to maybe hint as much. So if you kind of put them all in one bucket, 4 total out of fullback / tight ends, you could carry Freiermuth, Gentry, and Washington, and Hayward, and have the same 4. That's kind of where I'll have my initial roster prediction. That's, of course, way too early, probably in the next couple of days, but that's basically where my head is at right now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And as I always like to say, as we go through this, you know, on into the summertime here, is this this thing magically has its way of working itself out, you know, whether it be with injuries or whatnot. And I tell you what, there's you talk about fullback. I don't know if, how many of you stopped by Steelers Depot today to see the film room on Monty the Mullet out of Iowa there. I you know, after Jonathan Hightrader posted that, I need another cold shower there. That guy's a skull cracker back there.
Darnell Washington and Monty Potter. Are you okay over there, Dave?
Yeah.
A lot of cold showers.
I'm fanning myself. Got to turn the air down here. But look, there, you know, here's a good thing is you're going to have a lot of competition, right? And we talked ahead of the draft about it. You know, if they got in a situation where they could add a big blocking tight end at some point during a draft, I didn't think that was impossible ahead of the draft. Little did I know that it ended up being, you know, Darnell Washington. I figured he'd be off the board and all like that. So quite a gift there. But I mean, at least you've got a lot of competition now. And you know, to answer the question, I think you could indeed see three true tight ends and a fullback and kind of move forward from there.
Yeah, we'll see, but that's where my mindset is at right now, and that was Curly Top 19 saying Dave's taking plenty of cold showers this week. Yes, he is. 113 people in the chat. That is maybe a record to get to triple digits, so thank you guys so much for being here and joining the stream, and everybody who has liked the stream, please continue to hit that like button. Dave and I would really appreciate that. $5 super chat from Preston Shuttlesworth, who says, what do you think the reason is that the Steelers have not drafted well at cornerback in recent memory? Is it difficult to find players that can do what they ask? I don't think it's that. I think that's one reason why they've had trouble at inside linebacker, because they put so much on the plate of those guys. At corner, I would just say two quick things. A, they've never really invested a lot of early draft capital in corners. It was a lot of more mid-round type of guys, and so naturally your success rate goes down. They still whiff on those guys more than they should, where some of those guys would not even make the practice squad or not play anywhere else in the league and just totally, you know, just botched evaluations. And then the second point is, and again, we're all kind of guessing, no one knows the exact answer, but it's the same answer I give when people ask me, why are the Steelers so good at drafting wide receivers? And I say it's because it's the same scouts that watched Plexico Burress and Hines Ward and all those guys that ended up watching Antonio Brown and Manny Sanders and Juju Smith-Schuster and those type of guys, because for the longest time, Pittsburgh scouting staff had very little, if any, turnover. And so you had the same eyes watching the same people. It kind of worked in the inverse. The same corners that watched, I don't know, whatever, you know, Artie Burns watched Ricardo Coakley or whatever name you want to throw out there. Terrence Frederick, Shaq Richardson. And so it's probably just the same evaluation.
Boy, that's
kind of giving you giving you the same results. No one knows the answer for sure, but those two components are my best guess at it.
Yeah, and then when you do finally draft them in the early rounds, you know, you reach for a guy in Artie Burns, who I can remember doing, you know, cut-ups on him way back, and surprised that he wasn't even, wasn't even a full-time player even in his last year. And then you see what happened to him. You see what happened, you know, Cinquez Golson never got on the field.
Yeah, I mean, that was just bad luck.
Right. Bad luck, injury. And that's why I say, you know, the times that you have addressed that position early in drafts, they haven't worked out that way, you know. So maybe this time, you know, hopefully this time will be different. Obviously, got what many could even consider really a first round draft pick when it was 32 overall, mm-hmm. And technically a second round draft pick, a guy that many people felt, you know, would have gone in or should have gone in the top 20 anyways. And then you'd get a gift there in a measurable big, you know, guy with some nice tape
on Porter.
Trice.
Oh, Corey Trice.
I was already drawing a blank on Corey Trice there, but, yeah, look, I mean, it will be something if both these guys hit and stick, man. Can you imagine both these guys on the outside with that size and physicality? And, you know, the beauty of it, too, you got Patrick Peterson in that room, who's also, you know, big corner and years of experience to kind of help groom those guys along the way there. So, I mean, even if you can get one of these guys to hit, it'd be massive based on, you know, history of this franchise here. And if you could somehow get both those guys to hit in the same year, I mean, you could be set for the next, you know, three and a half years here.
I liked what Grady Brown, the DB's coach, had to say. We look good getting off the bus. I mean, they do. That's going to be some intimidating type of figures out there for sure. A couple of, I'll read a super chat here in just one moment, but just kind of reading some of the comments. Daryl says, Steelers Depot was in the Steelers war room with Omar. This draft really felt, you know, pretty predictable. I'm not really surprised by almost anything that happened over these last 3 days, Dave.
Yeah, and the article Clayton put up just a little while ago, you know, he did a very good job of the familiarity. What was the context that he used in there?
The intra score
and athletic score and all like that. And, you know, obviously Alex and I have over the years have paid attention to Spark and now RAS, and, you know, obviously always track the pre-draft visitors and the pro days and all like that. And, you know, I wouldn't, you know, it's not a fact of being, you know, looking like we're in the room with Omar. It's just over the years, and especially under Kevin Colbert, you know, kind of having the same model. We did wonder how many, you know, if we would notice any huge differences in the pre-draft process, you know, overall this offseason. And quite honestly, there's not much that you know, looked too terribly different. And, you know, when you kind of put these things in the blender and, you know, kind of the Blues Clues, as we've called them for several years now here, there weren't really a lot of surprises. Now, obviously, the offensive lineman, Spencer Anderson, the late, you know, the seventh round pick, kind of came out of nowhere as far as a name goes. But, you know, they did have a lot of interest in, you know, center and guard capable type players. So positionally, you know, that pick, you know, the last pick in the, you know, seventh round there wasn't a huge surprise there. The name was a bit of a surprise there. So it was, you know, from a limiting your amount of guesses. How's that? For because that's all we're doing here is we're guessing. Sure. We're trying. It's kind of informed guessing, if you will. And that does help you whittle down. I think in my mock draft, I chose the one person who I thought was the pick and then four other players underneath that I considered for a total of what? That's 35 players there, I guess, in total there. Those players were kind of educated, you know, guesses based on a diminished group of players based on what we saw.
And what you guys see on screen right now is from Clayton's post that shows the charting of the athletic score and the interest score. So those in the upper right quadrant have the highest amount of interest and athleticism. And you see that's basically where Pittsburgh's entire draft class is living right now in terms of Porter, Benton, Herbig, Washington, Jones, all super high on the interest level. So, yeah, somebody made the joke of, you know, Kevin Colbert's classes used to be predicted on a note card. You could maybe have Omar Khan on a post-it note with how kind of reduced it felt. But it is one class, and we'll see how things look going forward.
And it did help the class when you get guys to fall like Porter or
sure.
Washington too.
Yeah,
you know,
makes it easier. Absolutely. $20 super chat from our friend Double HH, who says, thank you, Steelers Depot, for the nearly live updates and thoughts throughout the draft via both audio and articles. Thank you, Double HH, for being here every single live stream and the super chat. We appreciate that and appreciate everybody who followed us throughout this entire busy draft process. All right, scrolling on up here back to the questions. James says, Alex, do you think Porter would have been the pick at 17 if they could not pull off the trade? Gonzalez probably goes to the Pats at 14, and the Jets take Broderick at 15. You know, I had said before the draft that I thought if it came down to Porter versus Deontay Banks, I would have them lean Deontay Banks, and so I'll be consistent and stay with that. But obviously, if Porter was the pick, nobody would have been surprised, including Joey Porter Jr.
Yeah, it's hard to know for sure. Absolutely there, and I had leaned towards the end too, thinking I was buying. What I was doing is I was buying all that smoke about the Steelers love Deontay Banks. You know,
right.
A couple reports in his final couple weeks. I think Lockenfora and
Peter King had mentioned
Peter
something.
King and all like that. So little things like that, you know, you try to pay a little bit of, you don't want to put too much emphasis on it, but you pay attention to it as well there. I mean, it very well could have been Porter at 17 had they stayed put. However, comma, I don't know, you know, Anton Harrison ended up making it into that first round, didn't he?
Yeah, Harrison went, 26 to Jacksonville, so you never know for sure.
Right, and all those, you know, if assuming that, you know, the other tackles had been off the board and all like that, and they did bring in Anton Harrison, would they have stayed more true to the tackle position, you know? So it's hard. We're just guessing here. It's hard to say for sure.
And I think I was reading Peter King's article this morning. The Raiders were actually considering Anton Harrison, I think, at 12 or something to that effect. They were considering, I think, a trade down scenario because they picked at 7, something to the effect of if they trade down, they would get Harrison at 12. So, you know, I think the league was higher on him than most people understood. Have a $5 super chat from Daryl, who says, "Where will the Steelers OTAs be held in June? Keep up the great work, Alex and Dave." Just at their practice facility, the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex. So that's where they'll be held, and they'll have camp in Latrobe in July.
And he give them the dates on that.
Yeah, I was trying to find the article on that. The dates are down here, starting basically late May and running through their 3-day mini camp in June. All right, so scrolling back up here to the top, I'll go back to the homepage of the site. Mr. ABS, do the Steelers still trade pick 80 if Downs is not selected at 79 by Indy? I feel like they reached to that pick. Both gone. Who was the selection? Ravens took Simpson at 86. I wonder who was rated higher. Omar said Darnell Washington was top of their board when they moved down from 80. I mean, you never know for sure, but I'll take him at his word there. I don't think they would have taken Josh Downs. They did not show enough interest in some of those slot receivers. And they really, I think they had to trade down from 80 to get that fourth round pick, so they did not have an even longer wait on day 3. So I'm fine with how that whole thing transpired.
Yeah, you guys got me got my head hurting after the draft. I have so many questions before the draft. Will they trade up? Will they trade now? Now we're wondering what they would have done had they not. I'm still trying to recoup from the actual draft at this point. Yeah, I don't think, as you said, I mean, there was obviously the comment, you know, to Downs at his pro day and never seen a work, something to the effect that, you know, never seen a workout like that and all like that. But I mean, was that enough to tip the scale to make him the pick? I don't know. It's easy to look at these things in a rearview mirror now, but my bet would probably be no.
Yeah, it was just one man's opinion. It was Dan Rooney Jr. that said that to him, but, you know, you have other needs, and you can like a guy's workout, and he not be the pick. I'm sure that happened to many players throughout this process for Pittsburgh and the rest of the NFL. Michael Wu, do you think Colbert would have done anything differently in the draft? I love Khan's first draft as GM, but the board seemed to break really well for them. It did. Again, in terms of we love the unknown. We love to talk about the hypothetical and the unknown. You know, I don't know for sure. You know, would he have traded down? I had the stat earlier today on Twitter that this is the first time Pittsburgh traded down since 2010. Colbert only moved down 5 times in his entire tenure in Pittsburgh, but I think he would have had the same calculation, honestly, at 80 and saying, we have pick 80, we don't pick again until 241, let's make a move here and recoup that fourth rounder we gave up to go get Broderick Jones. So I think he would have made the same move to go up to get Broderick. I think he would have made the same calculation to trade down, even if that was something he rarely ever did.
I concur.
All right, so there you go. That's the thought there. Jonathan Mason, I think Matt Canada is clearly the weakest link when it comes to the offense as a whole, but let's say this team wins 10 games this year based off of the talent. What's the chances he comes back? You guys love the hypotheticals. I don't know. It depends on how you win those 10 games. Do you win them all 10-7? Do you win them 35-30? His contract's up next year, so big decision time on Matt Canada. You know, if you feel like the points per game have been up, the offense is making strides and taking steps, then he probably comes back. But it just depends on how do you get to 10 wins.
Yeah, what does that offense look like? Does the adjusted net yards per passing attempt go up? Do the explosive plays go up? Are you running people's butts over on the ground? You had a great article. These days are running together. Bully ball, you know. Mm-hmm. The onus, I'll say this, you know, the onus has never been more on Matt Canada than it is right now, because you went out there and you've addressed the offensive line and free agency and a draft. You've gone out there and you've added a sixth offensive lineman, if you will, in Washington. You've got more experienced Najee. You've got a guy that can back him up in Jaylen Warren. You've got Kenny full off season now to concentrate on nothing but football and getting better. Pickens should be a better route runner this year. I mean, you get Calvin Austin on the field finally. I mean, you add a veteran and Allen Robinson to the. I mean, you start checking these boxes off like that, and you look back at. I mean, you should not just be better than last year.
Sure.
I mean, we should see noticeable gains in a lot of key advanced metrics here. You know, and as you said, you know. Okay, you win 10 games and, you know, you're scoring 16, 17 points a game. You know, that's probably not going to be enough to do it.
Yeah, there's going to need to be substantial improvement. To me, that starts obviously points per game, 18.1 points per game last year, not good enough. 23rd ranked red zone offense each of the last 2 years as Canada's been the OC. That's not good enough. So what the marks need to be, I don't know for sure. This will not be, you know, a top five scoring offense in 2023, but at least top half and hopefully better than that. Bruce Meyer says, Alex, with the idea of getting your five best offensive linemen on the field, do you think the Steelers will try and move Daniels to center and put Herbig at right guard? Dave, what do you think about moving those guys around?
Nah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that. Look, Mason Cole's not going to go to the Pro Bowl, I don't think, but I think he did a very more than serviceable job last year overall. I think you leave James Daniels at right guard. You let Sayamalu take over there at left guard. You would think Broderick Jones has got a more than a fighter's chance to be the starting left tackle, and then Chukwuma Okorafor the starting right tackle, and then I would think that's you know, at least this early in the process, that would be my bet is what that starting five up front looks like there. And, you know, I think Mason Cole understands what they're trying to do. I think him and Kenny are really, really comfortable with each other at this point now. So unless I get a reason on into the season to change that up, I think that's what I would go with right now.
I'm with you as well. That's how I expect things to go, and Daniels to stay at right guard. Connor V with a $5 super chat. Amazing draft coverage from Steelers Depot. Y'all do not stop. Keep it rolling. One question. What does a successful year two look like for Kenny Pickett? That's a good question. And again, I don't have anything as of the moment black and white to say. I think being more efficient and effective downfield, obviously improving in the red zone. You do want to throw more than one touchdown pass per game. You know, obviously just some of the baseline stat stuff that would indicate and suggest some better play. So I think probably just, you know, pocket presence. I think he kind of would bail on rushes a bit too early. Obviously staying healthy, some of that out of his control, but some of the things he can work on, he's spoken to. So those are some of the things that come to mind when I think about, you know, Kenny Pickett in year number two.
Look, I'm looking at his adjusted net yards per passing attempt stat from last season there, 4.70. Let's get that to 6.70 at a minimum.
Right. Would that put him above league average, or what is kind of the league average number on that?
If you're going to have a chance to at least make it into the playoffs, I think it needs to be 6.5, 6.7, and okay. I'm using that as the floor.
Right.
You know, ideally you'd like to get them, you know, 7.1 or higher, obviously, here. But, I mean, I think that might be asking a little bit too much. Look, they're going to run. They're going to try to run the ball, right?
Sure. That's what they're building this whole thing around.
And you know, hopefully you don't get into instances where you're having to have him throw the football, you know, 35, 40 times a game there, you know. So if they do have the run success, especially on early downs, I think I would hope that it would lead to putting him into more favorable down and distance situations that would result in you know, a stronger passing game here overall when it's needed and all. So, you know, if you want to look at this from an advanced metrics standpoint, you know, I would look for 6.70 on adjusted net yards per passing attempt as being the minimum, hopefully, that we'll see.
All right, we'll be tracking that number for sure, and we'll see how close he gets and hopefully surpasses that. 212 people here in the chat. Thank you so much. Really good crowd on hand for the first.
And look, if you add those touchdown passes in the red zone, like you said, and if you add some explosive plays and, you know, the turnover percentage is in line, you know, that number is going to come up. You know, it can't help but come up. And then, you know, obviously limit the sacks because that number relies on attempts, touchdown passes, interceptions, yardage, obviously, and sack totals there. So, right. You know, that's why I think that should kind of be the floor goal there. Sorry.
No, you're fine. Yeah, thank you for everybody who's here in the chat right now. Mark Irish says, starting slot cornerback Akella Witherspoon, check the tape, and then says, have I considered Witherspoon as a slot corner? I really haven't, and at this point, and you can speak to it more than I can, Dave, Witherspoon just needs to be a cornerback on the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're not entirely sure how much longer he can say that.
Yeah, look, that's going to be one of these things to watch moving forward from the draft on now. And I wrote about that just the other day here. I wouldn't bet the house that that Witherspoon will be gone, you know, as early as this next weekend here. But, you know, that room is up to, what do we say, 11, I think, cornerbacks at this point. Mm-hmm. And obviously two of those are draft picks and outside guys. And then not that they're hurting for cap space right this moment where they could utilize, you know, that money, but, you know, that will, I think, come into play the later on you get into summer where they do need more cap room right before the start of the season there. So it definitely is something to watch. I think the biggest hurdle, as you just insinuated there, is him making it to week one of the season there. And Do I view any possibility? I mean, I'm not going to say it can't happen with him in the slot, but we've never really seen it, right? You know,
right?
Overall, and is that a guy you really want in the slot for teams that might try to run at it? You know,
no. Yeah, not a great tackle. Did he play slot with the 49ers? I'm not really aware. I know in Pittsburgh he hasn't, but maybe there's a background there I'm not familiar with.
I'll look it up while you continue on here.
But I think that's why you saw this team go sign a Chandon Sullivan as some veteran guy. I know that you know, the metrics say he was really bad last year, and fair point. I believe it, but, you know, somebody with some experience, and I think that's, you know, signaling they recognize there's a need to add somebody to that group.
Three snaps in the slot with the 49ers.
Okay, so I'm not sure what
in
tape.
2020.
Okay, anything prior to that in 19?
I'm looking at 19 here. 20 snaps.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what tape to check. Maybe I know at Colorado he was not a slot guy. He was your big outside guy, and his tackling was even worse back in college. So. Not something I'm considering as likely right now.
Right.
Tim Chase, Miles Jack back on the cheap. I don't see it. I'm not sure what he would come back for. If you're not starting, you got to play on special teams. He's not going to play on special teams. The knees are starting to go. He couldn't run last year. I think they're done with Miles Jack.
I would agree.
Let's see what else we have here. Jonathan, about Casey Hayward to fill the slot role. You know, I think they're going to go into camp with the guys they basically have right now and kind of go from there. So, well,
Casey Hayward's like, and I didn't realize this until he was just on the transaction wire, wasn't he recently from, and wasn't he the one that was with the failed physical as well, too?
Yes, that was Atlanta that dumped him, I think.
Right. He's like, what is he, 33, 34, 35, something like that? I was I felt old all of a sudden when I saw that. Not that I'm not old,
right.
What is he? He's 33.
Okay, yeah. Probably going to hard pass on Casey Hayward then. Let's see. Do you think these offseason moves will help curb a slow start like last season? That's from Max Schell. Yeah, I think so. I think it's less about the moves and just more about the continuity. You know who your quarterback is. This was the youngest offense in football last year. Average age of, I think, 24.8 years. Obviously, everyone's another year older, more experienced. You kind of find your footing a bit better. So I would just say this team having some more continuity, playing together, a bit older, are going to be the things that will hopefully mitigate a slow start that really hampered this team last year.
It'll be interesting to see when the schedule comes out. When is that, May 10th, May 11th, 11th. Or something like that? Yeah. There, who they start off with. I don't know if I wouldn't almost want to send a message there on the first offensive snap of the season, maybe send out a 23 package.
With Darnell and... I gotcha.
I put some big bodies out there and strap it up for the first couple of plays. And
I like it.
Make people consider what religion they are at that point.
I'm with you. I like it. But, yeah, I think hopefully, you know, not having a new quarterback, adjusting to your system, you know, quarterback that's been with this team, unlike what you had last year with Trubisky being your starter, those should all be things that hopefully will prevent that really slow start from occurring.
Now, I'm joking. I'm obviously joking there, I think, to some degree. But it wouldn't hurt my feelings to come out and see some 12 personnel or some 22 personnel out there to start the season to kind of settle things in, just to see if you can play that bully ball right out of the chute.
Right. Matt says, do I see more man coverage coming based on the secondary players that they had? I mean, they ran a ton of man coverage last year. It was around, I think, about fifth most in the league. And Patrick Peterson, he was kind of a zone corner at Minnesota. So you kind of have a little bit of contradiction in terms of, you know, Porter being a press man guy and Peterson coming from a zone scheme. But, I mean, they ran a ton of it last year. So, you know, it's hard to do more than what they did in 2022.
Right.
John Pennington says, Dave and Alex, great job over the weekend. Do the Steelers have a draft pick in every round next year? That's a good question. I want to say yes, but I have not looked. There's a site that I go to that tracks those things, but I have not checked it. There's no trades that they've made that will cost them a pick next year, right?
I'm trying to remember. I haven't looked. I'll have to look on that. Okay. I can't remember if they've dealt a fifth or sixth or something off.
Brain Cells on Fire says, how many of these guys become significant contributors? Been looking at past drafts and usually only two or three players of significance. I mean, that's the norm. That's the average, but you never know. You know, 2017 was a really good haul. You've had past classes that didn't offer you that much. So, I mean, if you wanted to give an average, you know, if you get three starters, you're probably pretty happy. You get four, right. You're going to feel really good about that group. So obviously the career arcs of these guys will change. And, you know, I doubt we're going to feel as good about this class 3-4 years from now as we do right now. You know, we feel like it's an amazing class right now. It probably won't become that for whatever reason, injury, scheme changes, coaching changes, guys just simply do not work out. But, I mean, you got a really strong, you know, top group of Jones and Porter and Benton and Washington. You feel like those guys can make contributions immediately to this team. I think Nick Herbig can do the same, at least on special teams.
Right, I would agree with you. And then anything else that you get out of the rest is gravy at that point.
Right. All right, let's try to find a new name here from Chan Yang. Says, our cornerback room is pretty crowded right now. Who do you think will be cut before the season? Do you think Jerry Porter Jr. will start in the slot or outside right away? Austin said no red shirt, so where does Porter fit? What do you think Porter is kind of fitting into this scheme and this defense, Dave?
I mean, outside, obviously, I think, and I think he'll be given every. I believe what you know, Austin and Gray, you know, kind of what they were hedging towards there, that they'll be given. They're not going to come right out in a draft press conference and tell you that this guy is going to start, you know, but sure. They're going to make him earn it and all like that, but. They're going to give him every opportunity, I think, to start on the outside.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how it might look in sub packages because you kind of feel like you have a bunch of outside corners right now, but he's going to play. There'll be an immediate impact there. And again, Witherspoon in danger making this team. Pierre's going to have to earn a spot. So those are kind of names that are on the bubble right now. But Porter's definitely an outside guy. Albie Corky says, with inside linebacker not being as valued in recent years, do you believe the Steelers will continue to add to that group or continue their safety hybrid packages and let them cover and tackle and having a specialized position? Yeah, it's tough because, again, Pittsburgh asks a lot out of their guys. So you're trying to find those guys that can do it all. And obviously they've not had success doing that basically since Ryan Shazier got hurt. So I don't know for sure. I think this year Cole Holcomb will be the three-down linebacker. I think Robinson are kind of cut from the same cloth as rundown hitters, and those guys will duke it out in training camp. Frankly, I would not be surprised if Mark Robinson was getting more playing time week one over Landon Roberts, even though Roberts was signed to a contract this offseason.
Yeah, you can envision that, right? Especially if he starts picking things up a lot better moving on. If he has a great offseason program and stays healthy and all, I don't think that's outlandish.
Okay. So, yeah, from there where it goes, you know, we'll see in terms of who they add in the future, in terms of, you know, later inside linebackers. That's a conversation to have, I guess, this time next year.
And look, you know, we've learned over the years things that you think might happen right now. You get to week one,
right,
and you look back and you say, "What the hell were we thinking?" You know, at that point, because, you know, either injuries or a late addition or something along those lines.
Pablo Martinez, who is the third running back? I'm thinking it's Hayward. I mean, right now it's pretty open. You've got McFarland. You know, I don't think Hayward would be categorized as a running back. He's carried it in a couple moments late last year to close out the win over the Raiders, but I wouldn't view him as really, you know, running the ball too much. Not that the third string running back will really run the ball much at all, but we'll see if Benny Snell comes back. It would make sense for Snell to get re-signed the way that Miles Boykin was re-signed.
And, you know, I think maybe they like some things Master T can possibly do, you know, and maybe he can give you something on special teams, right?
Yeah, he had a, you know, nice camp until he broke his ankle or rolled his ankle, whatever it was, last summer. So
it sounded like a NASCAR. It sounded like a NASCAR reference. It was running good until we blew an engine.
The literal wheels came off for Master T. Yeah, for sure.
Long story short, I think that's going to be wide open. It's going to be something to watch as we move forward here, and we'll see what ultimately happens with Benny Snell if he signs with somebody now the draft's over with.
Yeah, you're seeing that movement today already with Billy Turner getting signed by the Jets, other guys coming in for visits as that comp period has wrapped up, and so teams are now kind of going through that next wave of free agency. Ken Sterner says would love to see Justin Houston added to the linebacker group. He's getting pretty old. I know he had, you know, good production last year, but it was like the first half of the season, and then the legs got tired, and he didn't have a sack over his last, I don't know, 7 or 8 games. So, you know, adding a veteran edge guy, I get. I'm with you. I would not be surprised if Pittsburgh did that. They have 87 on the roster right now, so there's 3 open spots. They're going to, of course, add to that, I assume, before OTAs begin. So that makes sense. I don't know if Houston would be the best name, though, but I mean, I could see it happening.
Yeah, that's another thing, talking about slot corner and all. What's going to happen here after the draft with some of these teams? You know, maybe cutting loose a guy, you know, that you could use. So, you know, once again, we saw this team add, who was it, Casey last year right after the draft, mm-hmm. and I firmly believe they're going to be watching this waiver wire close here over the course of the next couple of weeks to see if maybe they can fill a couple of those holes there.
Yeah, I expect them to at this point. Omar Khan has not been shy about shaking up the bottom end of this roster. I think that continues with somebody else here over the next couple of weeks. $5 super chat from Lar Vol, who says, I'm excited about the draft, but so worried about Matt Canada. We have to score points. We can't rely on defense for turnovers. What do you think changes? A fair concern, a fair critique. I mean, hopefully, again, the continuity, you know, knowing that Kenny Pickett is your guy, there's no battle, there's no newness to a quarterback you just brought in, the way that there was with Trubisky last year, learning your system. You know, Pickett year 2 jump hopefully will be big. Same with George Pickens, Jalen Warren, the O-line improving. And really, above all, this team having an identity, knowing who they want to be, how they want to run the ball, how they want to win games. They did not have that at the start of last year. They were just trying to figure out who was there and who could play and what worked and what didn't. And obviously, a lot of stuff did not. So knowing who they are and how they want to win is going to hopefully create a lot of clarity, which will translate into production.
Yeah, but that production will be expected for sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, it's okay. It's okay to sit here still and be fearful about what Canada can and can't or won't be able to get accomplished here. So, well, you know, pop your popcorn, get it ready.
You're right. I mean, I'm not saying I have much confidence. We'll wait and see. And as soon as the news came that Canada was going to be retained, I had the article that said it's time to land the plane, Matt Canada. That's Mike Tomlin's phrase, land the plane, basically meaning get it done. No excuses, no this, that, no, you know, we're trying to figure stuff out. You have the pieces in place. You got to make it happen. Otherwise, you will not be OC in 2024. All right, let's see what other questions we have here. About 15 minutes left, so be sure to get your last second questions in. Tanner Kramer, I love Connor Hayward as much as the next guy, but how soon can the Steelers get Monty Potterbaum in some I formations? Yeah, that is as old school as they come. It's got to make the team burst.
Getting warm in here.
But his tape is a lot of fun, and Jonathan did a great job writing up that report. I would show you guys the clips, but I might get copyright striked if I was showing you guys the stuff, so I don't want to do that. But I'll pull up the headline of the article here so you guys can check it out on Steelers Depot. Let me go ahead and just pull that up, and then you guys can go to the site after the stream and check it out. Logan was asking about edge free agents as well. There's no, I have not looked at a list, to be honest, Logan. I'm not sure how many names are out there and who all is out there. Justin Houston was mentioned. I think somebody asked me.
Is Yannick still out there or no? Did he sign with somebody yet?
I haven't checked. Yeah, but he's so bad against the run. Like, he's such a pure pass rusher. I don't think that fits. I mean, someone mentioned Leonard Floyd. I think he's a free agent. Somebody at least told me that he was. You know, you can mention any kind of veteran name, and he might fit. But
it's not a very appetizing list. I looked at it a couple of weeks ago, and it's,
was there
it's
any
not
name?
A very...
Was it Ngakoue that you kind of kept looking at?
Yeah, that just because weren't they at that pro day that year?
Were they? That Maryland, is he in Maryland? Is he a Maryland kid?
Was that the year he was there? They were there?
I just know that Todd Haley could never pronounce his name, and he would never say what his name was. It's not that hard to say. Ngakoue? It's not hard to say, but he just can't play the run. Like, he feels like a pure pass rusher.
This is going to kill me now. What year was he? 2016, wasn't it?
You told me. I don't know. I don't remember the year.
2016. I'll have to look at the pro day
tracker
there.
All right. While you do that, we'll look at Chelsea's question. When will we find out the rookie jersey numbers? Hopefully soon. Rookie minicamp's in 2 weeks, so certainly before then. We know that Broderick Jones will wear 77 in honor of his teammate at Georgia who was killed in that car crash, and so a very classy gesture by Broderick Jones. So we know he has 77. The rest we'll find out, I'd say, within a week or so. Let's see what else we have here. Could they carry two fullbacks? Nah, they're not going to carry both Hayward and Potterbaum. So I know we're excited about the fullback, but, you know, he's not going to... I'd say he's not, but, you know, the odds are stacked against him to make the 53.
Right.
Let's see what else we have. A couple more questions. Russ Obenstein says, what's up, Alex, Dave in chat? What a nice draft. We need to add another chef at the cafeteria to feed all this beef. Yeah, it is a beefy, hungry room, that is for sure. Wonder Kid was, when I talked about some of the failed cornerbacks, mentioned some names. Terry Hawthorne, yeah, it was the Illinois kid, and Gerard Holloman, who had all those interceptions and the worst tackler I've ever seen in my entire life. But I don't want to beat up on the guy.
We wondered about that the moment that it happened.
Yep, for sure. But at least it
was
just
Porter was present at that Maryland Pro Day.
Senior, so you have to clarify now.
senior was at that 2016 Pro Day.
Anybody
I don't
else?
Think. Nah, not that of. I don't think we had a tracker running back then. Were you with me? Were you with us in 16?
Yeah, I've been with you since 13. Come up on a decade here. So I don't know if we had the tracker, though.
Yeah, I'll have to see if it's on site here.
We might have. Well, yeah, 16 might have been early on the tracker. But anyway, Zer07, everybody is in love with Herbig, but do the Steelers already know how to use him, or do they have another tweener problem? Twitter is killing me for suggesting this and talking about this, but I'm just concerned about the lack of length on the edge for Nick Herbig. We kind of viewed him as an off-ball guy pre-draft, and I think even Herbig was believing he would move off ball wherever he got drafted to. So I'm worried about that. But right now, Pittsburgh sees him as an outside linebacker.
We've already got ourselves in trouble quite a bit with the fan base by talking about Nick Herbig and giving our honest thoughts on him. We hope. Look, there. We have talked about edge depth on this team for quite some time now. It feels like 5 years running now here. So bet the thing everybody hopes for is, yes, he can become that next guy off the bench to play on both sides at edge. But, I mean, I've had my doubts about this, you know, all off season when it comes to him. It's one of the concerns when it comes to Herbig is, you know, that arm length and that overall size with him. And then, you know, I went last night and watched the entire reel of the All-22 tape against Ohio State there. And He did not have a great game at all overall. Now he didn't rush the passer every down in there, and you know it obviously was Ohio State in that game there. But I mean he's going to be playing against professionals at the NFL level there. And yes, the Steelers came out right away and they said he's going to start off on outside linebacker. I believe them when they say that. It's going to be an interesting thing to watch with his process throughout this. Can he stay there, or will they ultimately have to move him to the inside there?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions about that, but we'll see, and we'll go from
there.
And
that's not us hating. I think he's a phenomenal kid. Mm-hmm. I think the storyline is absolutely great. I think he plays with his hair on fire. He obviously had a lot of great production at Wisconsin. And all, it's just, you know, when you move to this level, you know, can you make it happen with you know, the physical traits and the kind of style of the game that he plays? If he does, I will be the first one to say, man, look at that. You know, I didn't think he would be able to stick on the outside, and here he is as the Steelers' primary backup linebacker. So that's what you root for, and, you know, we'll continue to get blasted by the fan base, I'm sure, Alex.
I harp on it so much because I think Herbig could be a really good inside linebacker, and I want him to start there as soon as possible to give him the best chance to succeed. So I like the kid. I like the talent. I just it's a front office. It's a coaching criticism, not a critique of Nick Herbig.
Right. And look, he's got the athleticism's there on tape.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure. John Holtz earlier said, Alex and Dave, I love the show. Finally managed to get into a live stream. Well, glad you're here, John. Hopefully you're enjoying it. Bowhead says, what prevents the Steelers from peeling off a few Bills and signing one or two promising undrafted free agents? Nothing. Their own stubbornness really prevents them from doing that. They could join the fray of how teams offer these contracts to undrafted guys. Pittsburgh chooses not to for, you know, a couple of reasons we could talk about, but nothing prevents them other than their own inaction.
Yeah, and it's looking like the only guaranteed money in this undrafted class is going to be in the form of signing bonuses, and it doesn't look like they're going, of course, only one number's in at this point, but just based on looking at the list overall and the size of the list, only seven so far. Maybe there'll be one of these tryout kids or whatnot. We end up getting signed, but it's looking like the only guaranteed money is going to be the signing bonuses, and it's looking like they're not going to come anywhere close to that $170,000 whatever dollar max that there is that teams can give to undrafted free agent classes in signing bonuses here.
It is kind of crazy how much some of these undrafted guys are getting, like $200K guaranteed. I mean, there are draft picks that don't get that kind of guaranteed money, and so I understand maybe Pittsburgh just doesn't want to do that, but they're going to be at a disadvantage from getting quality classes the longer they continue with that model, which appears to be the same under Omar Khan as it was under Kevin Colbert.
It looks like the Titans is doing a lot of that this year with partially guaranteed first-year base salary.
Okay. Yeah, new GM in there, different model. Tony Anderson with a very generous $20 super chat and said below, any chance Peterson moves into the slot? That is something I have kind of kicked around because they've talked about, you know, using Peterson a bit more all over the place than what he's been, you know, in Arizona and Minnesota. So I don't know what that would look like. I don't know how well it would go. But if you're kind of asking me of the names on the roster right now who might end up playing some slot corner, I could see Patrick Peterson more than I could a Levi Wallace, who's done it a little bit but not that great at it, or definitely not Joey Porter Jr. So, yeah, I can kind of see that with Peterson.
To some degree of that happening, it is plausible, yes. And we'll just have to see how things transpire.
Herb's Place, have you watched tape on Chandon Sullivan yet? I have not really. Jonathan did the report on him that I can pull up and you guys can go out there and check. It was happening mid-draft, and so not really the time where I could step away and go look at the tape. I know that, you know, analytically he did not have good numbers last year, and so there's a reason why he's still a free agent. But, you know, DeMonte Casey was a free agent last year and it worked out, so we'll be hopeful, but I don't think Sullivan's going to be the answer.
I don't either, from what I've seen, and I haven't sat there and watched three full games of them yet. I will here in the next couple of weeks when things slow down. But yeah, it's from little that I've seen, it's not that appetizing.
All right, couple minutes left to get your questions answered. I'll try to roll through these as quickly as I can. Logan about convincing somebody why Pittsburgh will be better next year or this year than 2022. I mean, they were, you know, 9-8 last year despite being kind of a rudderless ship, changing quarterbacks, losing TJ Watt, having a dreadful start to the year. You know, those things can be avoided in 2023. They should be better. The roster's better. There's more continuity. So, you know, there's reason for optimism. Those would be the things I would try to convince somebody of.
Yeah, that's where I would go with it as well, too. You know, you're expecting your quarterback to take another step. You got a lot of, you know, outside of the free agent ads, you got a lot, you know, the guys that are still there. There's still a lot of guys on that, you know, a lot of familiarity on that side of football. You bring in a savvy veteran in Allen Robinson and all. So, and then you got another, you know, young left tackle out there and, you know, big old tight end to help with the blocking out there. So that alone, you know, if you can convince yourself that this offense will take, you know, not just a tiny step, but a pretty significant step. I'm not saying they got to be top 10 in the league, but you know, probably, you know, if you can be middle of the league or slightly better, then that, I think that should resonate in the win column. And once again, they managed to get above 500 with that, you know, team that they had last year.
And right.
So, look, I'd take the over 8.5 right now.
I'm with you there, Dave. Let's see. Kevin, the Elder God, $5 Super Chat. What are your thoughts on the clog at guard now? Should we expect a trade of Green or Dotson? Green has really minimal to almost zero trade value. Dotson, potentially. I know you want that fifth-round pick for Kevin Dotson. Maybe it comes later this summer, Dave.
Yeah, you're not going to trade. You might get a bag of footballs for Kendrick Green, if that, at this point. Dotson, I would think, you know, and at this point, look, I thought maybe there's a decent chance that Dotson would get traded during the draft. I've said that for nearly all the offseason, especially after they've, you know, added in free agency and all like that. Obviously, that didn't happen. He's not killing you from a salary cap standpoint right now, and we all know how things can happen with injuries or whatnot during the offseason here. So at this point, unless somebody knocked your socks off with something, I would expect him to ride the roster on through the summer at this point. And then if everybody stays healthy and he becomes and he has a good, you know, training camp overall or preseason at all, maybe there's another team out there that right before you get to cut down, you know, they say, look, you know, do you want him for a sixth round pick or fifth round pick or either that, or you're going to have to compete with him, you know, with other teams on the wire or whatnot, you know, much in kind of the same light that the Steelers have done on the other side of acquiring players right before season starts. So I think it's still plausible that Dotson might get dealt later on in the summer.
Sure. Some team loses a guard, wants somebody last second. I can see that. Nick and Rob had questions about slot again, about Norwood and him having experience there as a rookie, and same with Wallace. Yeah, I think Wallace did it a tiny bit, and Norwood did it, you know, more his rookie season. You know, Norwood just has to make the team right now, coming off, I think, a disappointing sophomore season. He is a candidate, though. It is somebody to mention, and if he can kind of put himself back together, then that might be an option there. And then with Wallace, I mean, he played in the slot in some twin receiver sets or some empty stuff last year. Just did not look that comfortable doing it, I think, against Buffalo or Philadelphia or somebody. Really did not have a good game trying to play inside. Let's see what else we have
for his career, just over 100 snaps, it looks like, in the slot for Levi Wallace.
Okay, so a little bit, but something that is a pretty small percentage of his play overall. Eddie Spaghetti, is Mason Rudolph coming back? No, I wouldn't count on it. I don't expect Mason to return.
Yeah, I would imagine his best course of action now is if he doesn't get signed by a team here within a week and a half or 2 weeks, is just to wait a little bit longer to see if any quarterback rooms get shaken up by an injury moving on into the summer. I don't think he'd be back in Pittsburgh.
David O, any XFL or USFL guys you have your eyes on? I mean, they'll probably get a quarterback from there. I don't know who. Probably somebody you like that tackle from, I forget what team he is, the Pitt tackle. And so maybe that's a name to
St. Louis, yeah.
St.
Yeah,
Louis, the Battlehawks. Yeah. But I don't have any really. You know, Hakeem Butler's had a nice XFL season. He probably gets back into camp this summer. That's, I don't know if it's Pittsburgh. Probably not. But I know Hakeem Butler's kind of been making some plays. Let's see what else we have here. Is there anything to worry about with Trice Jr. and Washington's injury history? I mean, they fell because of medical, but they're healthy right now, so they're not. It's not like they're unavailable to start their NFL careers, but there's probably some longer-term concerns that were popped up by the medical staff at the Combine.
Jared Jones-Smith is the guy that I wrote about several weeks ago out of the old Pittsburgh product who's last time I looked, it's been a couple of weeks, obviously with the draft coming and all like that, that seemed to be having a really good season for St. Louis in the XFL. So maybe that'll be they need to add to that room. I'll tell you what, because even after the draft here, you only have four tackles now, and you're going to need at least six, possibly seven by the time camp rolls around here. And there was none on that initial seven of undrafted free agents, I don't believe. And I don't think any of the visitors or the tryout guys, I don't think none of those guys have been tackles, have they?
No, I mean, there will be some, but not right. Just not known yet. Yeah. $5 super chat, last second one from Tim M, who says enough depth on the defensive line. Yeah, I think at this point you're probably pretty good. You know, you check on Wormley, see how the rehab's going, but at this point, I think you're solid.
Yeah, I think they're in good shape.
Larval asked about, will Dr. Mel have reports on Washington and Trice? Yeah, she will have that as part of her series a little later in the week. So she'll give us her thoughts there. And Charles D asking, is the quarterback position settled? 1 and 2 is, it's Pickett Trubisky. Number 3 is wide open right now. Technically, well, I mean, there are only 3 quarterbacks on the roster. Tanner Morgan is right now your number 3. So they're going to add a 4th. I think probably veteran guy, probably XFL guy. And you go from there.
Right.
All right, let's see what else we have here. Anything else really quickly? Antonio wants Darnell Washington to wear number 0. Will he get 0? Do you think Washington will wear 0, Dave?
I don't know, but I'm with him. I'd like to see it. Who asked that, Tony?
Yeah, that was Antonio asking that.
Antonio,
yes.
Yeah, I'm rooting for it, Antonio. I'm not sure they'll give it to him, but I'm rooting for it.
Me too. So we'll see if Rooney allows it. I think it'd be pretty cool overall. So anything else as we kind of wrap things up here? And appreciate you guys being here tonight. A really strong turnout for the chat, for the live stream. Does Leon get kicked outside? What's his role? I don't know. I'm still
we
unsure about
the We tried to look at a picture
Leon.
Today on him and determine what his weight is.
You said what, 270, 280?
Yeah, I might be a little light there. I think the consensus in our DMs was what, 275, 280?
Yeah, I'm bad at these. He was wearing a big hoodie, too, so it's hard to tell. But right. I'm trying to do everything I can because I would love to know what Leal is on the scale right now. And Jason says, hello, Daleks. Is Benton eventually going to be more of a four-eye guy? Yeah, I think he can play up and down, but he played a lot of nose tackle later in his Badgers career. Will begin his career at more nose tackle, but there's definitely flexibility there.
Yeah, and I think a way to get him on the field is right there in the middle initially there, and then slowly bring him along from that aspect. So I think it's possible that the more he gets in, you know, in the system there and knows what he's doing, I think you could see him start moving out.
Let's see. Russ is warmly signed. No, he's still a free agent rehabbing from the torn ACL. Chris is asking about any thoughts on Trice at safety. I thought he might go back to safety in my pre-draft evaluation, so we'll try him at corner, and I think safety is kind of the backup plan with Corey Trice. All right, so that's going to wrap up today's stream. Appreciate you guys being here again. Tremendous turnout. Cannot thank you guys enough. Be sure to subscribe to the channel. We'll have more live streams and some video breakdowns on this draft class that I have planned, and hopefully later this summer a full breakdown on Kenny Pickett's rookie year. I've not forgotten about that video. It will just take a lot of time to do, but now that the draft is over, hopefully I'll have some time to dedicate to that. So thank you guys for being here, and Dave, as always, thank you for being here with the rest of us.
Yeah, thank you for putting all these on and those walk the mocks and all that stuff you've done on the YouTube channel here over the course of the offseason. Appreciate that. Appreciate all the support as well, too, not only in this, but the podcast and specifically the site. We had a record, you know, just a record draft overall, record month of April, and we couldn't have done it without y'all. So thank you, thank you, thank you, and peace and love to everybody.
And just one last comment I saw that I do want to address from Mike Odessa, who says, does Dr. Mel have actual look at medicals, or is it all speculation? No, she makes it very clear in her articles. This is all, you know, 30,000-foot view. She does not have access to the files, and if she did, she would not be reporting on it. Obviously, there's a HIPAA violations there, so it's just her informed speculation from somebody that we trust very much. So That's going to wrap up today's stream. There'll be an archived version of this on Steelers Depot in just a little bit. I want to thank you guys for being here, and we'll talk to you soon.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.